Great drop. Steps up in the pocket. Fires to Jenkins. Caught. Touchdown! Excellent pass, Christian Ponder. Excellent pass. It's a 24-yard touchdown.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Two. Good evening and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park from the Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. I'm Paul Allen, joined by Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. Jeff Davidson, the new offensive line coach, coming up shortly. Likewise for wide receiver Greg Camarillo, then Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com at the end of the show to analyze the Vikings and the Carolina Panthers. Sorry about the 1-6 start. What are your thoughts into the Carolina Panthers game about how Wednesday and Thursday at practice went off the Green Bay game, Leslie?
You know, the guys have practiced well. They're enthusiastic about this opportunity to go up and play against Carolina, and I think they're looking forward to the game.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because via my radio show or my personal conversations, I've since training camp stressed to people, this is a really good group. Now, you had a situation with McKinney early in camp, Berrien recently, and Chris Cook obviously off the field. But with those aside, this seems to be a really nice group of guys, and you've just encountered some unfortunate situations of late. Do you think that's a fair way to look at it?
Yeah, I think, you know, every team deals with situations in our league and sports in general, it seems. But the guys, in large part, we have a lot of good football players that are good people as well on our football team. And that's evidenced by some of the things they do in our community here in Minnesota.
I was chatting with Jared Allen and Kevin Williams Monday at Chad Greenway's charity event at Manny's in Minneapolis. And, you know, they seem to be a little bugged with people coming up to them, not only at the event, but after the Sunday game saying, wow, that was a great game. You guys did a great job. Jared, congratulations on those sacks. Green Bay's undefeated. It is fair to acknowledge off the loss at Soldier Field, there was dramatic improvement against maybe the best overall team in the NFL, but you guys don't look at it that way, do you?
No, we really don't. We really went into that game believing we were going to win that game, and we had a chance to win it right to the very end, so it was very disappointing when we didn't, Paul, and we've had some moments like that this season, as you well know. So there are no more victories in this game for us.
But it was a good bounce back and a good performance. Overall, it was a good performance. You just didn't get the money. Fair way to look at it?
No question. I mean, for our guys to come back after a tough game against Chicago and to play the way they played, it's a testament to the type of character we have on our football team. So you appreciate the fact that guys are going to play no matter what the circumstance is.
Leslie, you released Bernard Berrien a couple of days ago. Where did it go wrong with Bernard?
Just a number of factors that where things just didn't click for us and him here in Minnesota. And you know, we get a chance to give Stephen Burton a chance to play for us at wide receiver, and we're looking forward to watching Stephen perform.
And the you know, kind of weird thing about the Bernard situation is anybody who talked to him in training camp, he was genuinely excited for the opportunity this year. It's a new situation, got some tweaks to the system. Have you ever seen anything like this during your career in the NFL where it just goes south like that in a hurry?
You know, Bernard's not a bad person. Just things didn't work out. And I'm sure he's going to catch on. He'll end up playing for someone. He'll end up playing well. It's just it just didn't work out here.
You mentioned Stephen Burton. I want to talk about him a little later, along with Brandon Burton. But Greg Camarillo also gets an opportunity. And Greg's an interesting guy. You know, we're going to talk to him here shortly on the show. He's a safe guy with the punt returns, with the routes he runs. He's not going to overwhelm you with anything, but he's a pretty safe guy, isn't he?
He is. I mean, he's a guy that you can count on. I mean, he's going to be prepared. He's going to study. He's going to know the playbook inside and out. And those are the kind of guys you can really trust if you're the quarterback. And you can see from the game on Sunday against Green Bay, Christian found him. I mean, yeah. He just knew that he was going to be there, and he uncovered a number of times when Christian scrambled. So those are the type of players that you want at wide receiver.
Yeah, and I know, Leslie, again, you're super disappointed. You didn't beat the Super Bowl champions, and arguably you were right there at the wire with that team. But more subplots that are interesting to the game is you have the ball late in the game. You're down two scores. Jenkins closes the drive with a touchdown, but you converted three third downs on that possession, which really, with all due respect, during the first four games of the year, we were 1 for 15 on third down conversions in the second halves of games. So when it comes to the quarterback or the team, those were some good baby steps.
Yeah, I mean, there were some positive things that came out of that game for sure that we can build on, and that's an example of it. I mean, we actually converted 56% of our third downs against one of the better defenses in the National Football League. So that gives you some hope, and that's something we have been harping on and trying to get better at. And then we were 2 for 2 in the red zone. So there were some good things that we can build on, and that's what we're going to try to do against Carolina.
With Greg Camarillo, any thought into re-implementing him into the punt return game?
You know, we've talked about it, but Marcus Sherrill, we think, is going to continue to come along. You know, he has some things that he has to improve on, and he will. But for now, Marcus will be our punt returner.
And the working umpire would be to stop catching it inside the 10, maybe let it take a bounce, because it's strange with him. I mean, you look at him from the preseason through now, and you're thinking, okay, sooner or later, he's going to bust one for a long touchdown. So it's not like he's dropping it, knock on wood. It's not like he's going out of body or anything. He just keeps catching it inside the 10.
Yeah, and he's had some good returns for us. You know, just going back to the Arizona game and some other games, well, he's done a good job. So that's the part that has to come, and we think it will.
Christian Ponder, in large part, won fans over despite the loss to the Green Bay Packers. He got a loud ovation when you opted to introduce the offense, played pretty well, and it's one of those games where if you look at the stats, the 13 for 32, you might not think it's that great, but if you watched it for his first start, overall, do you think he did a pretty good job?
No question about it. He made some key plays for us, and you mentioned the third down sequence and just his poise and some of the throws he made, even in early downs, and getting out of tough situations. I mean, there were a couple of scrambles that he made that really kept drives alive. So there was enough to see that gives you hope for the future.
Any tells to his game? Do you look back at the first full start and you're like, hey, Christian, you're doing this, and if you keep doing it, they're going to pick you off?
Yeah, and it's some things that he saw when he watched the tape, and especially on a couple of those picks where he kind of stared down the receiver, and you know, you're going against a veteran corner, and you can't really do that. But he'll grow. You know, he'll get better as time goes on, and that won't happen.
And on the first interception, I think it was Woodson on Shanko. He stared down Shanko every step of the way, but Woodson didn't see him staring him down. He just made a Hall of Fame-like play.
Yeah, he did a great job of doing what he's done so many times to so many other quarterbacks. Just stepped in front, undercut the route, and turned it the other way.
And what does that say about the confidence and the poise of a rookie quarterback where Woodson gets you there on a great play? Okay, you stare down another receiver, Charles jumps it and gets it. But when you need the big score to cut it to a one-score game, you go right at Woodson and close it with Jenkins.
I tell you, now that's exactly what you want to see out of your quarterback, not being afraid to make a throw when you have to make that throw. And for him to come back and hit Michael with that touchdown late when he's being covered by Charles Woodson, that just goes to show you that he's fearless. I mean, he understands the importance of making plays.
Leslie Frazier's our guest, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. Adrian Peterson goes for 175-1. Is he being more patient behind the line than maybe a few games ago?
He definitely was in this ball game. We looked at the tape, and one of the few times we've looked at tape this season and was not able to say, oh boy, he should have just kept it to the hole, or he should have just stayed in the hole. But this time, he was patient. You didn't see him, you know, stuttering his feet, and the results were a great day by Adrian.
Your center, John Sullivan, off the concussion, missed the Packers game. What's his status into the Carolina game?
He should be ready to go for this football
game.
Excellent.
Yes. So, Joe Berger, did he play okay in the Green Bay game?
He did. He played well for us, did a good job, you know, and as a substitute for Sully. And this week, we're going to have to use him at right guard because of the injury to Anthony Herrera.
And with the Dolphins and the Cowboys, he had position flexibility in that he played center and guard, so that's good for you there. Brandon Fusco, the rookie from Slippery Rock, the Division II school, he filled in a little bit for Anthony Herrera. What do you like about him?
You know, Brandon came in and played about 13 plays, and in those plays, he showed good poise, did a great job at the point of attack, showed the strength and the leverage that we were looking for, and really exceeded expectations in the way he played. You know, very composed and handled everything that they threw at him.
The one of the many unfortunate things with the 1-6 record right now is that nationally, specifically, but even a little bit locally, the 11.5 sacks by Jared Allen is getting a little underplayed. I mean, we're coming up on the halfway point of the season. Strahan's got that 22.5. We don't want to jinx anybody here, but in watching some film back with you occasionally and just seeing how effortless Jared is doing it this year, it's an amazing story.
It's an amazing story, and it's unfortunate, you know, where we are record-wise. I'm hoping that we can get this turned because, as you said, it's been kind of underreported. I mean, he's kind of under the radar to a degree, and he's having an unbelievable year almost at the midway point. And, you know, we got our fingers crossed that he's going to continue to improve and put up big numbers, which should in turn help our football team. But he is making it look very easy, and that's a credit to the way he works and just the approach that he took coming into the season.
He's having such a great season, Leslie. First of all, Aaron Rodgers is only sacked 12 times into your game. You're getting four times. So you have 25% of the sacks on maybe the best quarterback in the game in his season, which is great, but the record means people are going to look at different things mostly. And we can go all the way back to the first week of the season where people probably have forgotten the unbelievably good athletic play Jared Allen made on Ryan Matthews against Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I mean, dropping back in coverage and getting an interception on one of the top backs in the league coming out of the backfield. Jared is a versatile guy who's a tremendous athlete and just having an MVP-type season.
After the Green Bay game, chatted privately with Kevin Williams, very disappointed in facets of his game in the Green Bay game, specifically the end when Green Bay went to the two or three tight end sets after spreading out X amount wide, empty, whatever, and just saying, we're going to move the ball forward and you're not going to stop us. And Kevin takes a lot of pride in that. Is this foot okay, or where is he physically right now?
Yeah, you know, I think he's fine physically. We talked about that during the week, and I think he's fine physically. We just got to play a little bit better. And we will, and this will be the week to do it against Carolina.
Let's talk about some of your newer players who've been within the team, either on the active roster or the practice squad, and may start getting some run here during the final nine. Rookie receiver Stephen Burton, the seventh-round pick. Tell us about him.
Stephen is a young guy who we took from West Texas A&M and had him in training camp, and he was injured a lot with a hamstring injury. So he missed a lot of time, but when he was in there, he showed us he had flashes of a guy who could maybe help our football team. And, you know, we tried him on special teams as a punt returner and a kick returner. And when things happened with Bernard, you know, after watching his progression in practice, we said, you know what? This guy's ready to give an opportunity. And so we've given him that opportunity, and we're looking forward to just watching him play.
And your rookie cornerback, Brandon Burton, the speedy kid from Utah. He was a track star in Houston, really fast, isn't he?
He's very fast. He's a guy who has continuously improved from the time he reported to camp on the 31st. So, you know, he's gotten a lot better with his urgency and doing a good job in practice.
What do you think about Winfield this weekend and that neck?
It's going to be tough. It looks like, you know, love to see him out there playing. We really need him, but that's a very serious injury.
Isn't it almost worth now skipping a game, getting the bye, and then coming back and trying after that?
Maybe. You know, I'd love to see him play this Sunday, but, you know, we'll have to be smart about his injury because there's a lot of football to be played.
Now, Brandon Burton got some special teams run in the Green Bay game. No secondary run. Tough spot for him to jump in that quickly. Don't you agree?
Yeah, but it may happen. You know, we're a little bit thinner back in the secondary right now, so he knows he has to be ready to go at a moment's notice, and he's practicing that way.
You talked extensively earlier in the week about the Chris Cook ordeal. I don't want to put you in a bad spot here. I just want to ask you personally, man-to-man, coach-to-player, what hurts you most about this Chris Cook ordeal?
Just the fact that we're even having this discussion regarding something as egregious as this is. Just, you know, disappointed that we are even having this conversation.
You know, he had that off-the-field situation in Virginia, and then what has transpired recently, and Everson Griffin had an off-the-field issue in the offseason. I know you spent extensive time with him, and we've heard nothing but good reports about him on and off the field, so that's a very positive story, and he seems to be having a really good season, Everson.
He's having a very good season, and he's a guy who seems, as we speak, to have learned from the mistakes back in the spring, and which is good for us, you know, good for our team, good for our organization. So we'll see how it goes. But he's having a terrific season for us as a young player.
Leslie, give us some thoughts on Cam Newton.
Wow, he's having a terrific year as a rookie, you know, number one overall pick in the draft, and really leading that football team. You know, you don't expect a rookie to lead the team, but he's actually leading that team, both on the field and with his play. But you can see the enthusiasm that he really exudes throughout that football team. So he's a playmaker with great leadership ability.
Maybe all the fans will come to see Cam and we'll leave talking about Christian.
That's the way I'd like for it to happen.
Hey, thanks for the conversation. Right. I appreciate your honesty and your availability. And if I don't see you after the game, enjoy the off week. And best of luck against the Panthers, okay?
Thank you.
That's Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. The interview is provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of the Sports Authority Studios here at Winter Park. Offensive line coach Jeff Davidson, who won rings with the New England Patriots. He joins us next on the Minnesota. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. We thank head coach Leslie Frazier. Frazier for joining us, and wide receiver Greg Camarillo is coming up on the horizon with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com to handicap the Minnesota Vikings and the Carolina Panthers this weekend. But first, we are happy to be joined by offensive line coach Jeff Davidson. Welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park.
And thank you very much.
Nice to meet you on the radio, sir. You tell us about yourself, like when you played in the NFL, for whom you played, how you got there, and how you got here.
I actually started off, I was a scholar athlete at Ohio State. Uh-huh. Ended up being drafted by the Denver Broncos, played there for 3.5 seasons. They realized that I couldn't play, so they went ahead and passed on me, and I ended up getting picked up in New Orleans and played for the Saints for 2 years, and then really I've been in the NFL coaching ever since. Started with the Saints and moved through New England and Cleveland, then Carolina, then here.
Yep, former offensive coordinator with the Carolina Panthers, the adversary this weekend. And, you know, I would ask you the cliched media question of, is there anything you can bring to this coaching staff to help against Carolina, which I'm sure you probably can, but they have so many new components there, including Cam Newton.
That's exactly right. I think that there's, that's the biggest thing that struck me by watching the film is how many new faces there are there just in a matter of months. You know, it's they've had a big turnover. I think from what I've watched, they're playing very well together. And, I'm talking about, I even watched some of the offensive stuff. So I spend most of my time watching defensive ball, and even the faces over there have changed quite a bit. And, of course, the scheme has as well.
The pinnacle of your coaching career, maybe your professional career, I would imagine, Jeff, is winning those Super Bowls, three Super Bowls with the New England Patriots. What do you remember with that?
Well, actually, the thing I remember the most, obviously, is the final second click off in all those games, because it's, as most games go, it's a blur from start to finish. There's a lot of things that occur, and you don't even realize the time that's clicking by. And when the whole thing is done at the end, and you look up at the game clock, and essentially we won every one of those by 3 points, so they were all very close games.
Yeah.
Tight contests, and it's consider ourselves very lucky to win those games. We really are, because it's so minute, the differences.
And the victories over Carolina and Philadelphia, obviously different than the victory over St. Louis, in that New England had established itself as a dominating team by that time. But when you beat Mike Martz and the St. Louis Rams, you were prohibitive underdogs in the game. It's one of the most memorable Super Bowls in the history of the game.
There's no doubt. And the funny thing is as Bill Belichick had taught us over the years, we went into every one of those games thinking we were the underdog.
Yeah.
We truly did. You know, he never allowed us to think that we had the upper hand on anybody. And, therefore, we are always had to outwork our opponent.
With the way things have developed here, with Christian Ponder now as the quarterback, maybe, sensitivity needs to come into play here. But did you at all ever tease Donovan McNabb about being a coach for the New England Patriots, beating a Philadelphia Eagles team for whom he played?
Quite honestly, no. You know, it's I let the bygones be bygones. And, I don't know that if we've ever even discussed that, but it's it's funny you bring it up, because it's never even occurred to me to bring it up,
right,
to him, to be perfectly honest. The biggest thing for me has always been, those Super Bowls were nice, but I'm looking for the next one.
Yeah.
It may sound, again, you've used the term cliche, it may sound cliche, but if you're in coaching or playing or whatever, unless that's what your pinnacle is and that's what you're working toward,
mm-hmm,
you're wasting your time.
As an offensive line coach for the Carolina Panthers, with D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart as the running backs, and Jordan Gross goes over to Otah. I know Otah's out for the season now. Ryan Khalil in the middle. You had some underrated yet highly publicized guys too, like Jordan Gross, with whom to work. Good offensive line. Did you have good memories there?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's a lot of good guys on that team, and really everywhere I've worked I've found that to be the case, so no more so than one place over the other, but I'm excited to work with the guys we have here.
Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park. You have a couple of sons who play for the Eden Prairie High School football team. One plays for the varsity team, which is going to be playing Saturday and has a legitimate chance to win a state title. What's that like, and was it tough getting them integrated into the community and the team?
Well, it was. I think that, from the start, it's been simple in the approach that, after talking with Mike Grant, I was very comfortable with the situation as far as Eden Prairie High School.
Yeah.
The sports and the scholastic itself, it was very easy to switch over. Very similar in the way that they had set up schooling and that type of thing. So it was easy coming from Charlotte to come here for that reason.
Yeah.
Football is very competitive here, and you know, they've enjoyed every minute of it. So it's been a very good change for us.
What's your son's name who plays varsity, and what position does he play?
His name is Nick, obviously, Davidson. He plays left tackle for him. But yeah. Knowing Eden Prairie High School, they move that tackle around quite a bit. So he plays a little bit of guard and a little bit of opposite tackle. The only thing I haven't seen him play is center.
So was it an interesting time around the Davidson household? Unfortunately, this team's 1-6 right now. And then that team loses a week and change ago to Wayzata. Had to be a little depressing around the old Davidson household.
You know, it was. I would say I would never let that go, but I also know that we try not to live too much in the past and anything that might have gone negative.
Yeah.
Try to think toward a positive the next week of what it may bring.
With the left tackle, what are you on to? Any colleges sniffing around him?
He's got opportunities.
Yeah.
I think that you know, there's been interest in Stanford, there's been interest in Oregon, there's been interest in Ohio State and
very
Clemson.
Nice.
I think those are probably his top four at this point right now. All good opportunities, but right now I think he's still very much focused on Eden Prairie High School football.
Does the fact that you played at Ohio State weigh into it at all for him?
It does weigh into it, and into the fact that I've tried to do everything I can to make him look everywhere else first.
Interesting.
You know, I don't want him feeling like that's what he has to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that his mother's done a very good job of raising him mm-hmm. to be able to make his own decisions and be his own man, and that's all part of it.
Well, of course, we have the University of Minnesota here sitting on one win, probably needs a little offensive line help. Sounds like he has position flexibility. You can go unbalanced with him, do whatever you want. I mean, I'm just saying.
You're not the only one that's brought that up to me.
Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings, is our guest. What are some keys to becoming a successful offensive line coach?
You know, that's a great question. I've been asking it for a long time. I haven't quite figured it out myself. No, I'm really.
I thought you were going to say, "Hey, call Alex Gibbs." How am
yeah,
I supposed
right.
to know?
Yeah. No, I've been. I'd say that I've listened to players. I think I've learned a lot when I was a player.
Yeah.
There were a number of things that I like to teach because I was taught and enjoyed them. I also know that I watch a lot of film and see how other people are doing it. One thing about me and that I've learned over the years is I also know that I don't have all the answers. I'm going to look for them. I'm going to try to figure them out as I go. But I'm hoping that I'm always going to be a better coach the next day than I was the previous day.
In your years with New England, are there any maybe one or two things from the, quote, Belichick way, end quote, that will be with you forever?
I hope so. I think there's a lot of things that I learned technique-wise from a guy named Dante Scarnecchia, who's their offensive line coach there. And
yeah.
I still spend a lot of time talking to him. Coach Belichick himself, as far as the way that he dealt with players, dealt with the team, and taught team as being the number one thing that you look at each day that you get into the office.
Yeah.
And that, you know, really, those are all the things and the intricacies of situational football, which was very important to him.
Rubes and fans and announcers like me don't grade tape. We don't watch the same guy do the same thing five times. So therefore, obviously, we'll never know as much about it as you. But from the outsider standpoint and with the way the game developed, it seemed to me like the offensive line, specifically when you had to make changes on the fly. You started the game with Berger at center, and then Herrera goes down, Fusco comes in. But just from the layman's standpoint, it seems like the line played pretty well in that game. Is that accurate?
Well, yeah, they played pretty well. I think that's probably a good way of saying it. Obviously, we would say that we didn't play well enough to win.
Right.
We always know that there's a few things that we needed to do better in that game, and that's the way we approach it. Was it perfect? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. I think we all looked at it as we still need to improve, but it's moving in the right direction for us.
What about scheming from an offensive line coach standpoint versus a 3-4 like you've seen multiple times this year, including the Green Bay Packers, to a 4-3 this weekend with the Carolina Panthers? How does that affect what you do?
Well, without going into great detail, it's a different mindset as to the type of plays that we do run. We scheme a little bit differently based upon a team being more one gap and a team being more two gap. And that's about as far as I really would go into it, other than the fact that, you know, the plays are different.
What do you appreciate about left guard Steve Hutchinson's approach to the game?
Boy, this will be a long list, but the biggest thing is I've learned that he is a true pro in the way that he prepares. I know that he's the guy that if I need to get the tempo going in practice, he's the guy I go to. He controls the huddle for the offensive line. Ultimately, the quarterback controls the huddle, but he at least handles the front five guys up front. And he does a great job with a leadership role in our room.
It seemed from afar like rookie DeMarcus Love performed pretty well for you in the preseason. Now, you know, you go Charlie Johnson into Hutchinson, Sullivan, Herrera when healthy, over to Phil Loadholt. But the progress of an offensive lineman like DeMarcus Love, how do you keep somebody like that up to speed despite the lack of reps?
Well, his reps have to come a lot from practice. And, you know, we take defensive period reps very important also. We think that it's a, if those are his only reps in practice, we know that that's the time we've got to spend with him. We try to coach him on every rep when he is on the field.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting some offensive reps with us as well. So he gets a few. He gets to learn. He has to be able to respond to what happens in there as far as play calls and be able to use the techniques that we're teaching.
Your center, John Sullivan, missed last week with a concussion, hopefully plays this weekend. Undersized, we all know that, but was good enough to be the starting center for a National Football League team that almost went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. What do you appreciate about John Sullivan's game?
Well, I think that what Sully has done is, when I first came in here and started speaking with him, he stayed very open-minded in his approach. He has listened. He's tried new techniques. I think that there's some things that he and I have helped each other on as far as knowing that he's got a great work ethic and willing to do just about anything that we want to try. And you know, I think that he would say that he has improved. He's learned a lot of things. He's playing the game at a higher level than he did a year ago. But, you know, I think he would also tell you that he thinks he's got a long way to go still, too, and that's what's great about him, is he knows that he's got more room for improvement.
In closing, Jeff, you're looking through the bio and everything. Your past performances are terrific with offensive coordinating experience, now an offensive line coach here. Some would even say you might even be overqualified to do what you're doing here, but you're here nevertheless as the offensive line coach. Do you aspire to be a head coach one day?
You know, I have to say that I do not aspire to be. I aspire to be the best offensive line coach that I can be today, and that's really all I'm worried about.
That was an absolute treat. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Good luck this weekend against your former team, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Jeff Davidson, offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Greg Camarillo coming up next on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Greg Camarillo, we thank Jeff Davidson and Leslie Frazier for joining us, and we'd like to remind you the Buffalo Wild Wings is the only place to watch the game. When you're not at the game, play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience, free wings and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, and Greg Camarillo. Sorry about the loss last week. 1-6, but the team played Green Bay pretty well. You know, but I chatted with Leslie Frazier about this earlier. Is, I would imagine when you're out in public, if people recognize you and they want to talk about the game, into the game 1-5, Green Bay undefeated. A lot of people probably, Greg, are like, great game, wonderful effort, great catch on third down late. But you guys don't necessarily look at it that way, do you?
No, you know, people may compliment the way we played, but we're in the business of winning and losing, and you're only measured by winning and losing, not your effort. So, you know, we have to get the win, and we, you know, got to do whatever it takes to get it.
Tell us about you. Where are you from, and how'd you get into football?
I am from a place called Menlo Park, California, which is mm-hmm. in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I grew up a 49ers fan in the Joe Montana, Steve Young, Jerry Rice era, and that's that is what interested me in football. I played 1 year in Pop Warner when I was about, I want to say, 12.
Really?
And
you started that late?
Yeah, and I was a backup offensive lineman, and I hated it. So I stopped. I played the rest of that year and didn't start up again until high school.
Dumb question. Were you in Northern California at Menlo Park when Tom Brady was in San Mateo? The same time?
He's older than me, but, yeah. You know, I guess we're sometime around the same time.
Yeah. When you grow up in Northern California and you talk about Montana, Young, Rice, you know, even when you were littler, John Taylor and Dwight Clark and stuff like that, how do you end up, you know, you're not diminutive, but you're not offensive line big. Does everybody kind of want to be a wide receiver or a quarterback in Northern California after watching that football?
Of course. You know, we used to run around in the front yard and play football, and I'm a right-handed guy, but yeah. I wanted to be like Steve Young, so I would try to throw with my left hand, which didn't always work out that way.
Greg Camarillo is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Now as a receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, what's your role here? You were deactivated a few games earlier in the season. There have been some developments with Bernard Berrien and other stuff like that, and now you're active and elevated and hopefully that way for the rest of the season. What are your strengths? What do you do, and what do you enjoy about doing it?
Well, as a backup wide receiver, you're never really sure exactly what your role will be come game day. But, you know, I try to contribute as much as I can on special teams. And then whenever my number is called on offense, I have to be ready to step in there. You never know when somebody will get hurt or, you know, one guy will play 10 plays in a row and be tired and need a sub. But, you know, I just like to know every position and fill in wherever necessary.
Is it unfair, Greg, to pigeonhole you as a slot receiver?
No, it's not unfair. That's where I prefer to be, and that's where I feel most comfortable. But, you know, throughout my career, I've played, you know, all the different wide receiver positions. But I would say I'm better at the slot position than I am at the other spots.
Now, you look at, like, the Carolina Panthers, and I know you follow the league closely outside of the Vikings. You got Steve Smith, who's having a terrific season, the kid from Utah, been in the league like 10, 11, 12 years. Here, Percy Harvin, and you know, they're both smaller in stature, but they're both big physical things. Steve's a little bigger and thicker up top. But they're different guys in that Percy is comfortable in the slot, Steve's comfortable on the outside, yet they kind of look like the same guy. Why would that be?
It's one thing, it's a mindset, and then two, it's a matter of what you're most comfortable with. And I know Percy did a lot of running back stuff in college,
yep.
So he's used to being in the middle, in the mix, around the bigger bodies. And so he kind of brought that with him to the pro level, and he's completely comfortable in the middle of the field with the big guys.
You were very safe last year for the Vikings returning punts, and you know, you had a couple of opportunities I remember where it looked like you might go, but if you can give somebody 9, 10, 11 yards per punt return, not drop the ball, that's pretty safe. Marcus Sherrills does it now. Do you help Marcus at all, with given he's a younger player than you, become a better punt returner?
Yeah, I try to talk with him during the games, you know, just to see where his mindset is, you know, tell him good job here, you know, maybe we can work on that. But he's done a great job for us. I mean, the hardest part of punt returning is securing the ball. There's so much to lose on that play, and you know, it can be a huge momentum play in both directions. But he's made a lot of good decisions, and he's had a several big returns for us.
Do you miss returning punts?
Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. When it's a windy day in Chicago and the ball is hard to catch, I don't miss it. But it's as a receiver, especially a backup receiver, you just want the ball in your hands.
And
if you can't get it on offense, you know you're going to get it on punt return as a returner.
Outside of his God-given speed, what makes Devin Hester so good at returning punts?
Belief in himself and his return team's belief in him.
Yeah.
You know, he has speed, he has vision, but you know, they all 11 guys on the field at that time believe they're going to score a touchdown, so they all put forth 100% effort. But then, you know, a lot of things is he's just blessed with being a heck of a football player.
What's the biggest difference, or the most difficult difference maybe, Greg, in returning punts compared to kicks?
You know, I've never returned kickoffs, but you know, I would say the hardest part is securing the ball right away, because you know, on a kickoff, as soon as you catch the ball, you have 20, 30 yards before the guys get to you on a punt return. You know, you're looking up, and those guys, you can feel them coming at you, but you can't see them. So that's the biggest difference, is just being able to secure the ball and then figure out where you're going.
Greg, back to your youth for a second. You said something very interesting that I don't want to gloss over. You said you started playing football at 12, which is markedly different than the way a lot of things go now with kids in sports, where you get kids in sports, man, at ages 5, 6, 7, and they'll hone in on one sport and do speed camps and this camp and that camp and pretty much just hone in on one sport. How do you start at 12, especially in Northern California where the population base is huge, Menlo Park just south of San Francisco? How do you start at 12 and then make it all the way to the NFL?
Well, sports anytime before college is about having fun. You know, whatever game you're playing, you just need to have fun. And, you know, for the kids who are doing all the training in one sport, I hope that they're doing it for fun and not just being pushed to do it. Because you know, that's how you excel at something, is when you enjoy practicing, you enjoy working hard, you enjoy learning. That's when you're going to excel. So, I mean, that's just the culture I was raised in. You know, if I wanted to play this sport, I'd give it a shot. If I wanted to try something else, I'd give that a shot.
Tell us about quarterback Christian Ponder and what he did in the game against Green Bay that you liked.
Just his poise. You know, he as a rookie coming in and starting your first game on national TV, a rivalry game, you know, there's a whole bunch going on. The media was here all week, but he stayed calm. You know, before the game, he seemed loose. He never panicked in the huddle. He never panicked with people blitzing at him. And I think that's what is going to allow him to succeed in the future, is just his calm demeanor.
Bernard Berrien was released early in the week, as everybody knows. So now you're getting an opportunity to play more. Do you ever wonder to yourself why you didn't get that opportunity in the first place when everybody says, Greg's always one of the first to the meetings, always one of the last to leave. He's a well-studied, learned football mind, tries as hard as he can. He may not be as fast as a guy like Bernard, but there's more that goes into it than just that sheer speed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I try to put my best effort on the practice field at all times, and then the rest is up to the coaches. You know, I don't fault them for any decision they made. They put the people on the field who they believe give us the best chance at winning. And some weeks that's me, and some weeks that's not me. And, you know, you just roll with the punches, and if when your number's called, you just got to be ready.
How do you handle the 1-6 off of 6-10 last year where their distractions are the ultimate equalizer, and you've had some this year clearly and a lot this week? But last year, from a Favre situation early in the season to Moss being here, then leaving, coach gets fired, dome roof collapses, legitimate distractions nobody will ever see. And they are the ultimate equalizer, like I said. But for you, how do you handle a 6-10 into a 1-6 right now?
Well, last year was a mess, and that's something I really don't even want to touch on just because there were so many different distractions. But I think what's keeping us together, this team as a year, is Coach Frazier and everybody's belief in his message. You know, he is a guy that, you know, demands respect by treating you with respect. And, you know, I believe everybody agrees with that here, and nobody's willing to give up on him. And that's I think, what's keeping us together and keeping us fighting.
What do we need to know about the Carolina Panthers defense? Chris Gamble on one side is a cornerback, Captain Munnerlin on the other side, good special teams guy, now getting some really good run at cornerback with Charles Johnson rushing the quarterback. He has a bunch of sacks over the last 14. We know that by looking at the stats. What else do we need to know?
As a defense as a whole, they have a lot of playmakers. You know, they play aggressively, particularly the cornerbacks. They play aggressively. They try to jam the receivers out of bounds. So we have to match that aggression and play a physical game. And, you know, we have a lot of faith in the guys up front, and obviously a lot of faith in Adrian. So hopefully we can, you know, intermingle some nice passes with the run and get this thing rolling.
Greg, best of luck, not only in the game this weekend, but the rest of the year. And congratulations on being part of the mix again. And thanks for joining the radio show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Greg Camarillo, wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. When we return, Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com analyzes the game for us. I'm Paul Allen. This is the Minnesota Vikings. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen, happy to be joined by Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. And also inviting you to join me and Paul Charchian tomorrow from 9 until noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Maplewood for the patented Friday football feast. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com and on my show page at KFAN.com. Waseca Wabi, Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. The Carolina Panthers are the adversary this weekend. Your thoughts?
Well, it's time to turn around some road woes for the Vikings. I've had a tough time on the road going to different stadiums and trying to find a win, and hopefully this is an opportunity for the Vikings, led by Christian Ponder, his first road game as a starter,
yeah,
to go out and turn that thing around. And, you know, we say this most weeks, but I do think there are some opportunities for the Vikings to do well here offensively. This is a Carolina Panthers defense that has a lot of key players who are injured, namely John Beeson, one, yep, of their linebackers who's on IR. You know, there's some chances here for the Vikings to expose some parts of Carolina's defense. They give up a lot of plays of 20 or more yards. So hopefully Christian Ponder can find a groove with whoever it might be. Michael Jenkins, who had his first 100-yard game of his career last week, or Percy Harvin, if he's available. Defensively for the Vikings, I think the main story that everyone's going to talk about is Cam Newton. He's been the best rookie in the NFL this season, clearly. A couple of 400-yard passing games, and the big knock on him coming out into the draft was, can he pass the ball? Well, he's certainly been doing that early in the season, and he's a threat rushing. But what I really want to see the Vikings do is shore up their run defense, which they weren't able to do at the end of the game against Green Bay. That was really concerning for a lot of us. If they can shore that up, it kind of makes Carolina a little bit more predictable on offense, and then I think we have a better chance of stopping their passing attack.
Michael, one thing that's interesting about this game is you don't generally get a couple of teams that have a combined 3 wins together,
right,
with the kind of star power you legitimately have in this game.
Yeah.
We could just rattle off the names here. I mean, Cameron Newton, Christian Ponder, Jared Allen, Adrian Peterson, Steve Smith,
right,
Percy Harvin. There's some legitimate star power in this game coming up this weekend. And funny, the teams have a combined 3 wins.
Right. You have Adrian Peterson, who is having, I mean, he might not have a better start to a season than he's having right now. He leads the NFL in rushing yards and rushing TDs. He's approaching the Vikings' all-time rushing mark, coming up there 325 yards away. A guy who Vikings fans, they've seen this guy five times over the last 10 years, but it probably feels like 15 times. That's Steve Smith, their best receiver. Yeah. He leads the NFL in receiving yards. He's had a monster career versus the Vikings, 30 receptions, 525 receiving yards, three touchdowns against the Vikings.
Yeah.
A guy that's just given us fits, and you're right, star power all over that field, offensively and defensively.
Michael, we should have known in the first game of Steve Smith's career from Utah at Mall of America Field, which used to exclusively be called the Metrodome. It was the first game of the 2001 season, the first game off the NFC title debacle at the Meadowlands against the New York Giants. Steve Smith came in as a rookie with the Carolina Panthers, returned the opening kick for a touchdown that would lead Chris Wenke and the Carolina Panthers to a victory that day. It was a very negative season for the Minnesota Vikings on many levels. It was the season right after the training camp where, God rest his soul, Corey Stringer died.
Right. Right.
Dennis Green got fired at the end of the season. Mike Tice took over for the final game at Baltimore against Brian Billick, the former offensive coordinator here. But that was the only game the Carolina Panthers would win all season. And we could see there, this Steve Smith changes games. And it's interesting, in Steve is diminutive like Percy Harvin, but they're both stocky and strong upstairs in the chest area. But they couldn't be any different from what I understand in that one's the speedy guy on the outside.
Yeah.
The other's the running back slash slot guy.
I think Steve Smith is a guy where he can, you get him the ball when he's already a long ways downfield. I mean, he's good after the catch where if you get him the ball quickly on a screen or something like that, he's still good. But you get him the ball down the field, he's stretching your defense vertically. Percy Harvin is kind of the other way around. You want to give him the ball in an extended handoff scenario, a bubble screen, a smoke screen, an end around, something like that. Both are good vertical threats that stretch the field, but they do it in different ways. And I think that's a key for the Vikings this week on the road with Christian Ponder, his first road start. Get him comfortable right away. I think we did a good job of that against Green Bay. Christian looked comfortable. Now his completion percentage wasn't where you want it to be.
Yeah.
We got to improve that completion percentage. And I think one way to do that is to get Percy Harvin the ball on quick routes, whether it's a quick slant or, as we've said, the screens, different types of screens that you can run with him. I think it's very important to get Christian Ponder to feel comfortable early in the game.
3 minutes to go. Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com on Vikings Live at Winter Park from the Sports Authority Studios here in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, home to your Minnesota Vikings. On my show page at KFAN.com, the Paul Allen show page for the Monday through Friday 9 to noon job, I wrote about some things even from 1-6. There are some intriguing things with Vikings football to follow. And we can begin with Adrian Peterson, where you mentioned he leads the league in rushing yards, 8 rushing touchdowns. That's outstanding. If he can have a big game this weekend, then Adrian could be on pace for 1,900.
Wow.
Maybe 2,000 yards if he puts together some big Adrian Peterson-like games. And you also look at Jared Allen with 11.5 sacks. Be nice to see him run down Michael Strahan's record of 22.5. Let me ask you this. If Jared does finish with 23, 24, 25 sacks and gets that record, but the team's a non-playoff team, do you think he'll have the opportunity to be the defensive MVP?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, because you know, we fans and media and football, those records, people cherish those records, those historic records. And defensively, there's not a statistic that captures the minds of football fans more than sacks. Whether it's you're looking back on a game, how did a guy do? You look and see how many sacks he had, or in the stadium, excited the fans get about a quarterback sack. So when you have a sensational development like a guy chasing down the single season record for sacks, perhaps he could do that. And if Jared gets to 17 sacks this season, it will be his 100th career sack. That'll be something fun to watch coming down the line, too.
And finally, 45 seconds. It all comes down to the cultivation of the quarterback, Christian Ponder. We'll be rooting for him every step of the way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And another environment that's going to be adverse for him going on the road, and we get to see his development. I know we talked last week about the fact we know Christian is going to make mistakes because he's a rookie quarterback, and that's what rookies do. Cam Newton has made mistakes, but what we want to see is Christian not make the same mistake again, learn from what happened in the previous game, take those lessons, apply them to the next opponent, learn how to study an opponent, learn how to break an opponent down mid-game, talk with Bill Musgrave on the sideline, look at those sneaky photos that they have, learn learn how to attack defenses. That's what this is about with Christian.
Great job, Michael. Thanks, Paul. Enjoy the game this weekend.
I will.
Watch Mike Wobshaw at Vikings.com. He does a lot of great video work, and he also provides some tremendous editorial comments, editorial work at Vikings.com. Mike Wobshaw, we thank him for joining us. Likewise, for Greg Camarillo, Jeff Davidson, and head coach Leslie Frazier. We also thank Jay Nelson with the Minnesota Vikings and Joe Nelson with the flagship KFAN. Likewise, for everybody in media relations here and the Vikings Entertainment Network. I'm Paul Allen. It's the Vikings and the Carolina Panthers this Sunday at noon, all across the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.